Hello and welcome to Criminal Justice Knowledge. My name is Natalie Miller and I'm very pleased to welcome my guest today, Professor Ray Reese, one of the faculty members here at Humber in the Community and Justice Services Diploma Program. Thank you very much for joining me today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
So today we're going to be talking about something that is a really hot topic right now, specifically mm-hmm. because of the changing climate of our world politics, race and racism.
Mm-hmm.
So why is racism so intertwined with the criminal justice system?
Okay, now
that's such a big question.
Huge question. It is a huge question, and I'm trying to think, okay, how do I answer that question succinctly and kind of encase what just the power of how detrimental racism is.
Mm-hmm. So sort of what racism actually is.
Right. So the concept of race is actually socially constructed, mm-hmm. right? So it is a concept that has its origins and roots in capitalism and genocide, mm-hmm. And was specifically designed to defeat and conquer, as designed by the white establishment, to designate folks who were of color
right.
as inferior, mm-hmm. right? The concept of racism is differential treatment,
mm-hmm.
specifically based on somebody's race.
Right.
The idea
right.
that races, people are inferior because of their skin mm-hmm. color, right? So treating me different, making assumptions about me as a black woman as me being maybe less intelligent or, not going to have a job or whatever those assumptions mm-hmm. may be because of how I look, right?
Right.
And then treating me different on that. Based on that, it's no different than racial discrimination. Seeing someone's application with the last name Mohammed
right.
or Hussein, and assuming, I don't want to hire that person, or getting pulled from the line at the airport because you're wearing a hijab or a burqa. You know, so any differential treatment that is specifically tied to how somebody looks,
mm-hmm.
their skin color essentially, or your definition or notion of what and who that person might be, or a group of people based on their race.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so racism in the criminal justice system is so entangled because not only is it detrimental, which is just kind of a one-word description, but it is entangled with so many other parts.
Mm-hmm.
It is about profiling.
Right.
It's about differential disposition, so why white folks get a certain sentence as opposed to people of color, whether they're black or indigenous or mixed race. It's about who sits on the bench.
Mm-hmm.
It's about how law becomes law, so how bills get passed and what gets legislated, and all those pieces are connected to who has power in society.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things I try and teach my students is when we talk about racism, we are talking about systemic and institutionalized
mm-hmm.
Power, right? And it's hard for students because I think one of the first things they hear is, oh my gosh, here's this black woman and she's gonna have a chip on her shoulder, which is racist, and she's going to be attacking white students, which is
yeah.
not about that, right? That's why I generally don't start with white
mm-hmm.
privilege or white power, because it's an uncomfortable topic,
mm-hmm.
And it should make people uncomfortable because how we walk through the world and the decisions that are made by other folks that affect people's lives are detrimental.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen the impact of residential schools to this day,
mm-hmm.
right? We know what happened with the 60 Scoops, the removing of indigenous kids from their homes by whites, and the legacy of that. You know, we don't talk enough about what happened to Africville, which is a community in Nova Scotia that was bulldozed by the Canadian government, right? And the legacy of what happened to those black folks who were there.
Mm-hmm.
We don't talk about the Chinese head tax
mm-hmm.
and the fact that the Chinese literally built the Canadian National Railway, and when there wasn't any care with which to address the needs of those folks when they died, a lot of folks were just buried.
Right.
Where they built that railway.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that we said, come and let's use your toil and your labor and we'll exploit that. And when you want to bring your families here for a better life,
mm-hmm.
we said, no, find $500 per person. Right? We don't talk about the Japanese internment camps. We don't talk about anti-Semitism or the painting of swastikas on schools that was here in this province,
mm-hmm.
right? Or the bombing of a mosque, or the shooting at a mosque, I'm sorry.
Yep.
Right? I think we also tend to position racism as very much a black and white issue.
Right.
And yes, there is definitely anti-black racism
mm-hmm.
for sure, and that should not be negated. And we have to talk about racism particularly as it is how power structures are kept in place by white folks. So that's who holds power in our society, right? And those are the conversations that people don't want to have,
right?
Because it makes them uncomfortable, right? Yeah. And then you look around our province or our country or even the classrooms, and you see difference. Like, oh, well, it's a mixed classroom, and your profs are of color, and how could there be racism, right?
Right.
But then we don't think about the systemic pieces. Okay, so out of the number of profs that are racialized on this campus, how then does that number compare to the overall number of racialized profs of the three campuses?
Right.
So you've got to look at the systemic practices in terms of hiring. Mm-hmm. Who gets hired? Who's sitting at the hiring table? So there's a number of pieces, right? So
right.
Back to your question in terms of the criminal justice system. Racist, it's incredibly important to look at racist, because the very premise of justice is that it's supposed to be blind. We know that
right.
image of the woman that stands with the scales, and she's got a blindfold on, because ideologically that is supposed to mean that regardless of race, color, creed, religion, sexuality, the justice system in a democratic society will work in such a way that you and I, you as a white woman, me as a black woman, will be treated equally.
Mm-hmm.
Right? What we know is that that is not the case, because
yeah.
we know that the very ways in which laws were made, were passed, was by white forefathers of this country who designed laws to serve their best interests.
Mm-hmm.
So you had laws that ripped apart indigenous families.
Mm-hmm.
You had legislation, laws that said if a Native woman married outside of her nation, that she lost her status,
right?
And so those are important to understand what that legacy means and what it meant for white men to make those laws to entrench and safeguard their power. And that
mm-hmm.
is going to carry over into the way people are treated in the criminal justice system.
Right.
Right. And so you can look at case law, right? So every single case that goes before a court, then the outcome becomes case law.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at case law and you think, well, how come you've got similar charges, situations, but the disposition, the outcomes are very different? Why is
mm-hmm.
that? Why is it that we know statistically and historically that indigenous men, black men, brown men have a more varied, unstable, harsher time
mm-hmm.
when they're in the criminal justice system, right? Even though what we do know is there are more white men who are incarcerated fairly than any other racial group,
right?
But we know that there's a disproportionate number
mm-hmm.
of blacks and indigenous
mm-hmm.
folks who are inside based on their numbers in the population, right? So that means that there's something happening,
yeah.
right? There's something systemic and institutionally happening, right? And then, as you mentioned, we can look at, so for example, if we want to take a very high profile American case, not to say that there's not things we could look at here in Canada, but Brock Turner,
right?
Raped a woman, and received a 6-month sentence to three months.
Yeah,
I believe, right? Three mm-hmm. months,
something
like that.
Less than a year,
like less for sure, less than a year. Father, pled with the court that not to ruin his life. The judge who sat on the bench
mm-hmm.
said that he should not pay for a mistake for the rest of his life. And then you can look at the numbers of cases that are very similar to that case of racialized men who received 25 to life. Or racialized men who have a dime bag of weed, or a non-violent probation violation, and then like Meek Mill, the rapper, who then gets thrown back for 2 to 4
right.
years, right? So, yeah, we have to look at how racism and the history of racism plays and continues to play an incremental factor in the criminal justice system's response
mm-hmm.
to crime. And the criminal justice system is not just the courts.
Right.
It's the police. It's the first
mm-hmm.
point of contact, right? Who gets profiled? Who gets stopped?
Mm-hmm.
How you get questioned? Who gets shot?
Yep.
Why they got shot?
Mm-hmm.
What the court system does, and then what the correctional system is supposed to do, right?
Right.
So it's very much an entangled concept, and it's very, it's disturbing, but it's so much more than just disturbing. It's
mm-hmm.
become, I would say, a local and a global, worldwide phenomenon in terms of how people are treated in the system.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure.
This concludes part one of my discussion on racism with Ray Reese. Please join us for part two on criminal justice knowledge.